begin reading from the 7th verse. Have your Bibles. Just read along with me. 7th verse. Paul is writing, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I want to read that verse again. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I am not ashamed of the gospel today. It's the power of God unto salvation. He went on to say, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And may God bless the reading of the word. There are 27 books in the New Testament, and of those 27, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 of them, and included in that list is 2 Timothy, which I've just read. Likely most everyone here is familiar with something of the life of the Apostle Paul. I don't know about you, but I have my own thinking. Outside of Jesus, I believe that Paul was the greatest character of the New Testament, second only to the Lord. And yet with all of that, many think that Paul was a man of poor health. Now, I want us to understand this. Because of what Paul said and what others said, it is likely that Paul was not a physical strong man. In fact, those of Corinth said that his bodily presence was weak and his speech was contemptible. It was not easy to listen to him preach. His body appearance was of a weak man. Others said concerning his appearance that have caused a lot of scholars to believe that he had a physical deformity, that possibly he had an impediment in his speech, that his eyes were weak because of something he said himself about writing large letters. Some even believe that he had back trouble, that he was a hunchback. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I don't know what his condition was. He might have been a weak man physically, but he was a powerhouse for God. He was endued with the power of the Holy Ghost. And God used him mightily. One of the greatest church builders, pioneer church evangelist that the world has ever known. You go across Asia Minor, you would find churches here, church there, church there, church there, that Paul, on his 3 missionary journeys, had begun with the anointing of God upon his life. He might have been weak physically, but he was a mighty man for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was a faithful warrior. Let me just jot some things down that he was. The Bible lets me to know that not only was he a preacher, but he was an apostle. He was a prophet. He was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He was a teacher. He was the overseer of the churches. Not only that, he was a mighty warrior in the army of the Lord. He volunteered to serve, and God blessed him. Thank God, thank God. I want you to look at his record. There's no hint anywhere that he ever looked back, that he ever had a desire to go back. After the day of his conversion on the Damascus Road, he started on his journey towards heaven, and he made up his mind, determined in his heart, he was going to serve the Lord, never compromise the truth of the Bible, and never compromise his own convictions. Let me stop right there for a moment. If you serve God, God will give you some convictions. I believe this, God will help you to live your convictions, even in a sinful and ungodly age in which we live today. And so this man Wherever he went, witnessing in the marketplace or ministering in the synagogue or preaching in the prison house, all the time he never changed his message. Mark that down. Paul preached the same message everywhere. On Mars Hill, in Philippi, in Berea, in Thessalonica. Everywhere he went, he preached the same message, and that message was Jesus Christ, the living Savior, is the answer to the needs of the world. Brother, that's the message that needs to be preached today. He never changed it when he was with another different people, another nationality, another country. Same message. And I say that today, the same message is needed around the world, and it's needed in Hampton, Virginia. The message that Paul preached. To begin the sermon proper, I have thought five thoughts. To begin the sermon today, I want you to notice the words in the middle of the 12th verse. I'm going to read the verse again. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I want to pick out three words out of the midst of that verse. Paul said, I have believed. Let me say that again. Paul said, I have believed. If you've believed this morning in the Lord, you're a blessed person. I have believed. A lot of people think that just has to do with your mind. I believe, I consent to the Bible saying that He's the Son of God, that He died on the cross and all the rest. But it's more than that. When you believe in the Lord, it's repenting of your sins, having them forgiven. Starting out with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I have believed. Three words, but they speak volumes. Not only did he hear the voice of the Master when he was on the Damascus Road, he promised when he heard that, he met him, the Bible says, that day when he was out to persecute the Christians, he had a personal experience with the Almighty God. Let me leave this with you today. I have had a personal experience with the Almighty. And until you do, you'll never know the joy of salvation till you meet Him face to face. Maybe you've never seen the Lord, but you know He's real. But until you have an encounter, a personal encounter, you'll never know. When the Bible says He believed, there are seven things I want to mention quickly. When He believed, He repented of His sins. He accepted Christ as His Savior. His sins were washed away. He was born again. He was saved by grace through faith. He was changed completely. Amen. And the Bible says in that moment of time, he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that when we got saved, the Lord didn't leave us in our sins. He saved us and forgave us. Brother, that's enough to shout about the rest of the service and eternity. What a Savior, what a mighty God. And for the remainder of his life, Paul gave himself totally to sharing the good news of the gospel everywhere he went to anyone that would listen. He preached repentance and the importance of believing in order to become a Christian. I jotted down a statement. I don't know if I read it or if it just came to my mind. I don't know where it came from. But a person can repent without believing for salvation. Let me say it again. A person can repent without believing for salvation, but he can never believe for salvation without repenting. Until you repent, you will remain in your sins. I'm glad that repentance is real. According to Acts chapter 16, one night while Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi for preaching the gospel, that suffered many things for their ministry, and now they're in the jailhouse at midnight. Their backs are bleeding. The feet are in the stocks. They're uncomfortable. They're hurting. They're suffering. Now all the time, the Bible says, and they're singing praises in the midnight hour. Brother, when you can sing with your back bleeding and your feet in the stocks, you've got something. And the Bible says God shook the jailhouse. There was an earthquake. And the doors of the cells swung open wide. And when the jailer way back yonder felt the earthquake and the doors swung open wide, believing that all the prisoners had escaped, the Bible said he took his sword and he was ready to take his own life, realizing if the prisoners are escaped or gone, it'll cost me my life. He was ready to take his life. And Paul cried out to him, "Sir, do thyself no harm, we're all here." And the jailer came to where he was, and maybe the jailer had heard him singing. Maybe they heard Paul ministering and teaching. And the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Somebody tell me the first word that he said. Believe. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe. If you'll only believe, all things are possible. Believe. Believe in the Lord for salvation. Thank God, thank God. That's the answer today for every man, every woman, everyone. Whoever they might be, believing in Christ Jesus. That was in that day and still is today. On another occasion, while Paul was in jail in Caesarea, he had already completed 3 missionary journeys. He'd come back to Jerusalem. He had been accused of something and they'd taken him. They were ready to kill him and they took him to Caesarea. While he was in jail in Caesarea, they brought him before the king, King Agrippa. And while he was testifying before King Agrippa, giving his word, giving his testimony, he sensed the Holy Ghost dealing with the king's heart. He said, "Oh king, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying is true, King Agrippa. If you'd only believe..." He said, "Believe and be saved." And King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I'm going to stop right there today. If you're almost persuaded and don't take the next step, you'll end up in eternity in the torments of the damned forever. How many have almost raised their hand, have almost walked down the aisle, have almost cried out to God, "I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry." And the devil spoke to them and said, "No, not today. They don't have time," or "Not today. What would people think?" On and on, but until you believe and do something about it, you'll miss heaven. And he said, "Believe." And the king said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said something like this, "I would to God that not only almost, but altogether, that you would not only almost believe, but you would believe completely and accept Christ as your Savior." Then when the Romans, Paul was writing to the Romans, he said, one of my favorite verses, "That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." If you'll only believe, only believe. Paul said, "I have believed." And so I ask you the question, is that your testimony? Is that your testimony this morning? Have you believed in Christ as for your Savior? If you have, you've got something to rejoice about. We were in the Sunday school lesson talking about forgiveness. And I'm not going to reteach the class, the lesson now. But sometimes people have had a hard time forgiving themselves. Or when the devil brought something back up that you'd already forgiven the person, you know that you've been forgiven yourself when you pray to God, and then the devil brings it back up and tries to make you believe, well, God didn't forgive you. I want you to know something. When you ask God to forgive you, He forgives. Not just 7 times in a day. Anytime you come to Him with a repentant heart, He forgives. Let the devil do what he will, but God's real. God forgives. Hallelujah. Paul said, "I have believed, I have believed." And if you believe today, you're a blessed person. Second thing I'd like to mention today, in the same 12th verse, in the midst of that verse, he said, "He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." 3 more words. "I have committed." First he said, "I believe." The number says, "I have committed." It's wonderful to believe for salvation. Keep this in mind, if you will. It's wonderful to believe for salvation. There's nothing greater in your life than to believe for salvation. I'm going to try to clarify that. When you graduated from school and decided you wanted a certain career, going to college or wherever you wanted to do this, that was a tremendous decision, but doesn't even begin to hold to the season you made to serve God. When you chose your companion for life, and that's a tremendous experience and a wonderful opportunity, and it was a great decision. I'm glad I made the right decision. But that decision, choosing my companion for life, was not as great as when I chose to serve God. All the other decisions in life paled in comparison to the decision to accept Christ and to live for Him and serve Him. And I thought about Paul. First he said, I have believed, and he said, I have committed. And so I want to leave something with you today. If you intend to serve God, if you want the victory in your soul, if you want the joy bells of heaven to ring, if you want to have real peace in your life, if you want the Lord to have everything of you, surrender, surrender, commit all to the Lord, lay it all on the altar. Brother, that's real today. I want to preach something that's not preached very much anymore, anywhere around the world. There is an experience with God called sanctification. There's something taught in this Bible that's called holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. When I believed for salvation, I got saved. But when I put it all to God's hand, when I committed my life to the Lord after getting saved, I determined to serve God. That's sanctification. Brother Jones, somebody might say, I've never heard that. Read the Bible. Fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But Brother Jones, this denomination doesn't teach it, and this denomination doesn't teach it, and that person doesn't teach it. It makes no difference. The Bible says it. I have believed is getting saved. I have committed is after you get saved. You can't commit your life to the Lord before you get saved. That's important. Sometimes people put the cart before the horse. Oh, I've given my life to the Lord, I haven't even got saved. But when you get saved, commit it all, surrender all to the Lord. Right. Lay it all on the altar. Everything, lock, stock, and barrel. If you want the joy of God in your life, if you want the peace of God, if you want victory in your heart, in your life, lay it all, give it all to God. Hold back nothing. It's like God has made our hearts with, let's say, 50 compartments. Give us the key to every one of those. We say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I hear, I'll give you 49 keys, but this one, I want to keep this one. There's something there that I want to keep. You'll never have the victory until you give him every key. Do you understand that? He will have all of you or none of you. I'm not talking about us collectively. I'm talking about you and me. Right. He's going to have my all, but he's not going to have any. Right. Paul said, I have believed. I got saved that day on the Damascus Road. I was on my way to persecute Christians. I was out to arrest them and put them in jail and some were put to death. I didn't believe what they were teaching. I didn't believe in this Jesus as the Messiah. I thought it was a cult of fanaticism. And I was out to destroy that, but I met the Master. Thank God I met the Master. I met the Lord one day. Hallelujah. Changed my life. Because I believed. After I believed, like Paul didn't stop after he believed. He went on with the Lord. The Bible says, if we continue, if we go on with the Lord, if we go on with the holiness, listen, holiness is real. Brother John, I've heard so much about the holiness church and about I don't agree with a lot of that. Forget about all of that. If the Bible tells you to live holy, live holy. Amen. Some people might claim to be holy to live an ungodly life. Don't worry about that. You live holy. Yes. Committing all to God. Right. Paul said, I have believed and I have committed. Mm-hmm. I've made up my mind I'm going to serve him. Whatever happens. Read the New Testament. Read what Paul went through. How he was shipwrecked, how he was beaten, how he was imprisoned, how he was put in stocks, and so many things that he went through. But he made up his mind he's going to serve God. And when you make up your mind you're going to serve God, brother, the Lord will be there with you.
Yes, yes. Amen.
I have committed. The third thing, I will turn to Romans. I'm not asking you to turn there. But Paul said something like this: I have preached the whole gospel, the whole counsel of God. I have preached the whole gospel message, leaving out nothing. I have determined to preach it all. And if there's anything that we need today in the Christian world, it's to preach it all. One preacher came here one time, and he said, I believe this Bible from front to back, holy. On the back it says, Holy Bible. He said, I believe it all. And then he said, I even believe the match in the back of the Bible. I believe it all. This is what Paul said, I have not failed to preach the whole counsel of God. I have preached it all. So let me just share a few things about what he preached. He preached that Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin. There are people in this town, in church today, that do not preach that nor teach that. They've omitted that. But it's here. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was tempted in all points such as you and I, yet without sin. He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He opened blinded eyes. A palsied man with a palsied hand. He raised the dead. He did miracles. He was a mighty Savior. The Bible says he did all of that, and yet they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. He died. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. That's part of the gospel. But the tomb could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. He arose the third day. Thank God. Up from the grave he arose. And the Bible said he was with the disciples and others for some 40 days, some 6 weeks, ministering to them. And then he went away. He ascended into the heavens, just back to the Father. And he said these words, and when I go, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you, and not only will he be with you, he'll be in you. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And we know that he got back to the Father, because on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts, he sent the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And there were all the house where they were sitting, cloven in tongues like as a fire came and sat upon me. And the tongues in the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with other tongues. God gave revival. Hallelujah. And the same God is still alive in the middle of the day. Why? Because people have believed and committed. God poured out the Holy Ghost. That was just six things that I mentioned right then. The seventh thing says, from the 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, this is part of the gospel. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house so many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. Yes. Something that Jesus said in that third verse is, I will come again.
Yes.
That's part of the gospel.
Amen.
That's part of it. Amen. Hallelujah. For it, I believed. I committed. I know the gospel, and I preach it entirely. The whole counsel of God, the full gospel message. I have held back nothing. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. This thing is real, brother. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let me just share a testimony about the commitment part. There was a man in the East, the Bible says, was the greatest man of the East in his day. He was a righteous man. He was a wealthy man. Godly man. God had blessed him abundantly. He had herds of camels, of sheep, of oxen, and of asses. He had 10 children and a wife. God had abundantly blessed him. And almost the most time, in a day's time, in a short period of time, he lost the herds of camels and the flocks of sheep.
and of the oxen and of the asses. He lost all 10 children in one day. One day. One day. All 10 of his children died. Maybe in a windstorm or whatever. Lost it all. And then the Bible said he lost his temper. And some people have had a problem with that. How can a man love God with everything he's got? Serve the Lord in the beauty of holiness and live a righteous life. And yet God allowed this. And the devil cannot do anything to God's people unless God allows it. Always remember that. You serve God, nothing can come your way from the devil except God allows it, and he allows it for a purpose. But this is what I want to say. Job went out on the ash heap and took some shell and broken pottery and began to scrape the very corruption from his body because he was afflicted with boils from the top of his head to his feet. Having lost everything, grieving over his 10 children, lost it in all the wealth that he had, possessions that everything's gone, everything. Even his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? God doesn't love you." This is what I want you to remember. If you ever get anything else, I said, along that line, Job had made a commitment. I'm going to serve him no matter what. I'm going to serve God whatever comes my way. Whatever tragedy, whatever sickness or affliction, whatever hardship, I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve God no matter what. If you do that in your life, you're living victory. I've read the last chapter of the book of Job. Lost everything! I read the last chapter, and the Bible says God blessed him greater than he was at the beginning. He's lost 10 children, 7 sons, and 3 daughters. And now it looks like he'll never have a grandchild, maybe never have another child. And the Bible says God gave him 7 more sons. And 3 more daughters. Not only did he have more children, he had some grandchildren. And then he lived to see his great grandchildren. And you'll search it out and came to see his great great grandchildren. Let me share this with you today. Whatever comes, God's a good God. Whatever happens, commit it all to God. And when something terrible takes place, you're God's. You belong to the Lord. He'll never fail you. He'll be there. Underneath of the everlasting arms, and if you want to encourage you. Make up your mind like that sign that we see all around town sometime. No matter what. I trust him or something like that. Yes. You've seen it. Trust in the Lord no matter what. Trust God no matter what. Job had made up his mind. I admit it. Paul said, I believe. I commit. I preached the whole counsel of God, I haven't done anything. Then we come to the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy. Paul is now in jail and they're waiting the execution. He's going to be led out of the jail cell. He's going to go down that Etnian way and they're going to take him to the execution yard and Paul is going to be put to death. It's already determined. He's just waiting. He doesn't know when. But he said something like this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. So remember 2 things. First he says, I have fought a good fight. Tommy, just the day that you got saved right here in this church some years ago, it's been a battle. Satan has fought every step of the journey. Satan doesn't give up on us. He's out to destroy. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief not coming out but for steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have more of life. Satan is out to destroy you. We are in a battle. Do you believe that? We are in a warfare. When you go to school, When you go up on the job, when you go up to the marketplace, wherever you go, we're in a warfare. And I want everyone to understand God has let us to know His Word. We are on the winning side and we'll stay with Him. If you believe, if you commit, if you come to all the Lord believing the gospel, you can be like Paul when he said, I have fought a good fight. We are in a battle. Yes. 6th chapter of Ephesians tells us we are in a battle. Yes. Against principalities and powers. I can sense it sometimes. It seems like darkness around about. It almost cut it with a knife, but there's going to be a light to shine one day. The Prince of Peace is going to come, thank God, and take us out of there. Listen, we're living in a dark world. But always remember. And Paul said, I fought a good fight. He knew that he was in a warfare. He read some scriptures. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard against him. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Another way to say it, our weapons of warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. I was said in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? I preached from, I don't even know now, maybe the 3rd chapter of Corinthians one time, that Christ has given us the victory. We're always triumphant in Christ Jesus. Believers that have believed in the Lord have committed all, we're always triumphant in Christ Jesus. The choir and you were saying, we are victorious. Somebody looking up there and maybe say, well, they don't look very big, but we are. You can just see. You can just know what's in there.
Yes, amen.
Now, I volunteered for the military in 1948 in the month of August in the Air Force after graduating from high school. I was a volunteer. And 7 years later, almost, I volunteered for the Army of the Lord. I look forward to retiring from the Air Force. Didn't make it, but I look forward to it anyhow. But I have found out there's no retirement in the Lord's Army. No retirement. We are an army today that are in a battle, but we're going to be an army of the young and the victorious. Always in the army of the Lord. I volunteered for this thing, brother, and I'm blessed that I did. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. When you read the scriptures that are ours, that promises so much, I'm going to leave out the middle part of that verse that it says, I have finished my course. That's for another time. I want to finish it this way. I have kept the faith, Paul said. I have kept the faith. He didn't say I have had been used in the gift of faith. He didn't say that I have exemplified the fruit of faith. I shouldn't believe that he did. But said, I've kept the faith. What he will say is this, I have been faithful. I pastored this church for 38 years. I've been privileged now to preach, and I thank God for an opportunity. From time to time, I don't have the preacher's itch. God's been so good. But there's nothing more important in your life than in eternity. And hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. To Rachel, to Lolly, to Tom, to me, to you, to everyone. God will never say, well done, my good and faithful servant, unless we are good and faithful. He doesn't speak politically correct. He says it just like it is. And I'm glad that he does.
Amen.
He says, I have kept the faith.
Oh.
I didn't jump from here to yonder. I found the full gospel message. I believed it. I committed my life to it. I determined in my heart that I was going to serve him. I'm not going to compromise my convictions. No, the word of God. I'm going to live. The way the Bible says live. I'm going to be obedient to God. And I've been faithful, Paul said. From that day that I met him on the Damascus Road, here I am in this jail, in Rome, waiting to be executed. I have been faithful. Now I'm going to close. This is so important. My wife is coming to the piano. We're going to say the fourth that we all know. Only believe all things are possible. The second verse, Lord, I believe. I looked, I could not even find it in the course book. Might be under a different title, but maybe it wasn't either. This is the part I want to leave with you. Paul said, I have believed. I'm going to ask you, have you believed? Have you believed? Have you really believed? Paul said, I have committed. Have you really laid everything on the altar for God? I fought a good fight. I've been in there. I'm fighting against the enemy. Been victorious. Not giving up. I've kept the faith. I'm going to use a personal testimony and we're going to pray. I was pastoring in Lamont, California. A large church. I don't mean mega church at all. There was a young lady that had come to service and we went to visit and we met her husband. I told this story before. And as we were praying before we left and we're standing at the doorway leaving, my wife and I was trying to witness to him and he said, Pastor, I believe. And the more I talked to him, I realized what he was talking about. He believes here, but he didn't believe here. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God. The devil believes that. He believed that Jesus died on the cross. The devil believes that. He believed that Jesus died and rose again or was buried and rose again. The devil believes that. He said, I believe. The more I talked to him, the more I understood. He did not know salvation. I urged him to come to church. And on Sunday morning, he showed up. Thank God. I'm going to wear a shade. Right in the back on the back pew. Right next to the aisle on the back pew in that church. I gave him the altar call. I said, if there's anyone here that has not accepted Christ as a Savior, while they were here this valley and people are praying, would you slip up your hand and that man raise his hand? As the altar service went on and all the invitation went on, I said, those of you that raised your hand, would you take the next step and walk down this aisle as a testimony that you believe, that you accept Christ as your Savior? That man stepped out. Walked down the aisle. We prayed around the altar. And then the man said this after we prayed. Listen closely. He said, when you asked us to raise our hand, he said, I had no intention of raising my hand. But it seemed like something got a hold of my hand and lifted it up. I wasn't intending to raise my hand, but something made me raise it. Then you said, don't raise your hand if you just said, he said, I had no intention of going down that aisle. But it felt like a hand in my back, pushing me down that aisle. I've come because he raised my hand and he pushed me down and I'm terribly saved. And God saved him. When we left the church some years later to move back to Virginia, that man was working with the youth in the church. Why have I said that today? Because you must believe. We're going to sing the chorus, only believe. All things are possible. You must believe. And when you believe, if you want to enjoy the blessings of God, you must commit it all. Turn everything over to God. If you hold back anything, it'll cost you. It'll cost you everything. Will you stand together with me? We're going to sing the chorus, only believe. Listen. Sing with us. Oh, baby.